best defense for that one. Right, so this morning we're going to be reading from John 13. This morning, John 13. I'll give you guys a moment to get there if you're going to follow along with me, and while we chat a wee bit about where this sermon came from, kind of reflect the process that we went through this week, but I went through this week trying to get hold of this. This is a really difficult one to get hold of, so I want to share a bit about where it comes from, the stuff that's gone into it, and the heart that I'm bringing this today, the place that this comes from. That it might just be me, this might just be me that feels this, but feels like there's a lot of change happening just now, right? I don't know, maybe that's just me, maybe no one else has spotted that, but lots of things are going on just now. People are coming in, people are leaving, people who've been here since the foundation of this church, who founded this church, actually the people who founded this church, are going to be moving on soon, and new people are coming in. We had new elders come on a few weeks ago, really good to see new faces on our leadership team, and other folks move on. We're waiting around and asking questions about who's going to come in and lead us when we finish up, when other folks lead up, when other folks go away, who's going to come in and lead the church that's here. And so I guess for the past few weeks, when I've been coming to share this, I've been reflecting on that question. In the midst of all that change, in the midst of all those different things happening, in the midst of that transition space between one thing and the next, what does it mean for us as a church to be obedient to who God's called us to be right now? Because folks are leaving and folks are coming in, but the church isn't just Alan and Diane, the church isn't just Stephen and Helen, the church isn't even just the leadership team, the church isn't me and you, it's us. And so the question I want to ask us, you and me today, is what does it mean for us to be obedient to Jesus, to live out the identity that Jesus has given us? What is it that Jesus has given us and told us to be that makes us distinctive to the world around us? What is it that makes us church? And it's in that part I want to read this today. Now, a bit of context. This passage is John is during the Last Supper, so it's between the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, when he was going about it with teaching and healing and prophesying and doing all the things he did, but before he's taken into trial and crucified and dies and resurrected, and before he ascends into heaven. So it's kind of at the midpoint of Jesus' ministry. And it's a really cool part. John's a really cool book. If you read the book of John, you go from chapter 1 to 12, and chapters 1 to 12 is all of Jesus' ministry while he's on earth. And then chapter 18 through 21, I think, don't quote me on that, chapter 18 through 21 follow on Jesus' trial, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And in the meantime, we've got this wee bit in the middle. So chapters 13 to chapter, the end of chapter 17. And all of those five chapters happen around about the time of the Last Supper. So it's like, you get 13 chapters, 12 chapters, to do the whole of Jesus' ministry. And 4 chapters on his death and his resurrection. And then 5 chapters on a meal. Like the last meal that Jesus has with his disciples. And it's some of the most awesome scripture you're ever going to read. I really encourage you to go away and read John chapter 13 through 18. And just sit and read the whole thing, because it's awesome. It's just prayers and stories and lessons that Jesus shares with his disciples before he goes on to the next thing. And this moment that we're going to read today, this passage, comes right at the start of that in the book of John. This is the opening of this section, where we see Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples. I'm going to read it just right. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father, who had given all things into his hands, and that he had come up from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the cloth, the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For for he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he says, he must all of you unclean. After he washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, Jesus said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the ones who send them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Now, I'm guessing that's not a new passage or not a new story that most of you guys hear. This is one of the, it's one of the old golden oldies. It's one of the ones that we really like in church. In fact, I'm actually sure even if you've not been in church very long, you've heard something of that before. It's all over pop culture. It's one of the most interesting stories in the gospel. And there's a thing with interesting stories in the gospel. See, this is a really important passage, and there's lots of stuff written about it. There's lots of stories about it. There's lots of depictions of it. There's lots of theology that's written about it, trying to explain to us what it means. And that's all really good, but sometimes in the midst of all that stuff, you can lose the image of what you're actually looking at. It's a bit like, I don't know if anyone's been to see a concert before that they really, really enjoyed. Went to see a band they really, really liked. And you go and have an amazing time. Like, the music's great. You hear everything. You see everything. It's really engaging. And you go to tell your friends about it, and it doesn't matter what words you use, how you describe it, what you say has gone on, what you say, all of that stuff meant. You're never going to convey properly what actually happened at that concert unless you take your friends to that concert. You can't convey it. It's an image. It's a moment. You need to see it. You need to experience it. And so today, we're going to talk a bit about what this means. But before we do that, I want to take a moment just to set the scene so we really get to see Jesus in this moment, because this moment is powerful. As I've read this passage over the past few weeks, as I've kept reading it, it's become one of my favourite moments in Scripture, possibly my favourite moment in Scripture, actually, because of what it says about Jesus and who Jesus is in this moment. So Jesus is at the Last Supper, his last moment eating in community with his disciples before he dies. And at the dinner table, in the midst of this meal, because we know he goes on and serves them food later on, but in the middle of the meal, Jesus suddenly gets up from his seat, takes off his rabbi's robes, goes and grabs a towel and ties the towel around his waist and begins to wash his disciples' feet. Now, implicit in that image, the thing that you don't spot unless it's pointed out to you, the thing that you've had to do is that Jesus gets up, takes his robe off, and one by one would have knelt in front of each of his disciples to wash their feet around the room. So Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, the one who in his own passage calls himself teacher and Lord, whose disciples have called him the Son of God, who's called himself the Son of God by now. Jesus, who was arguing with rabbis in the temple when he was 8 years old and winning those arguments. Jesus, who has gone about feeding people with no food, multiplying loaves and fishes to feed people, turning water into wine, calming storms and seas with just his voice, healing the sick and raising the dead. That Jesus, who possessed all that authority, kneels down in front of his disciples and washes their feet. Now, I've never had anyone wash my feet. I don't imagine it would be a pleasant job. I don't imagine it would be very nice at all. This was low-down servant work. This was not what you did for your fellow men and women. This was the thing you got a personal slave and a personal servant to do. The person who really didn't have you were to do the most menial of jobs, and it is the most menial of jobs. It's like a servant's job. And this is Jesus, the rabbi and the teacher, doing this job. More to the point, if you read the book of John talks about Jesus being there at the beginning of the world with God. So this is Jesus who was there when the world was created. Jesus who gave life to creation and still holds it together. Jesus who we see depicted throughout Scripture. Jesus, who sat with God himself in human form, kneeling next to his fellow men, his people, his disciples, the people who were following him, and serving them in the most menial servant way possible. In the most low-down, humble way possible. Can you feel the weight in that moment just for a second? Can you get, just for a moment, if you didn't get before, where Peter's really uncomfortable with this? But Peter's like, nah, mate, you're not doing that. That's cool, that's okay. I mean, in this moment, Jesus takes the whole social order that's around him. Every rule and everything that's about authority, about people's place in society, he takes it, he turns it on his head, and he gets down on his knees and serves his disciples out of love. And then he gets up, and he puts his robe back on, he sits down at the table, and we're like, good, awkward moment over, we're fine, we can get on with this. And then he turns around to him and he says, so, do you understand what it is that I just did? To see, if I've done it, you need to do it too. You call me King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's right, that's what I am, and I just got down on my knees and served you like a servant would. So if you guys are my disciples, you need to do that for each other too, then. You know, if I'm going to do it, and I'm your teacher, I'm your master, you as my servants are not breaking with me, you need to do this too. You don't get out of this one. And in fact, it makes it even more explicit, just a little bit further on. This is verse 31 onwards. After Judas has gone out to betray Jesus, he says to them this. He says, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him and himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you, that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, I kind of like that this is one of Jesus' teaching examples that isn't really complicated. I mean, it's not one of his parables that no one understood until he explained it to them all. It's not one of those times where he goes out and he takes a piece of Jewish scripture and he reinterprets it to everyone, and we get to sit around 2,000 years later and debate what he actually meant about it. Jesus' point here is really crystal clear. There's not much getting around it. See, he gets down on his hands and feet, and he washes his disciples' feet in an act of love and of servanthood and humility. He lowers himself down from his position and gets right down in amongst us to serve us. And then he goes, cool, I've done that, you need to do that. You need to love each other like I love you. And in actual fact, all those folks around you who see that you're my disciples will know you're my disciples because you do this. I mean, interesting, he doesn't say they'll know his disciples because they've got really good theological teaching. He doesn't say you'll know my disciples because you do the right things and say the right things in church. He doesn't say you'll know my disciples. He doesn't even say people will know you're my disciples because you do miracles and you see people healed and you see this happen. He says people will know you are my disciples because you love one another as I have loved you. Because you follow my example in love. And so we said at the start, you know, we're the church. We're the body of Christ, we're the people of God. And so the challenge to us today, the challenge that I want to raise to you guys and to me, because I know I'm not there. I really know I'm not there after reading this. Is, are we doing this the way Jesus tells us to do this? Do people know us as a community for our love for one another? That we love each other because the way that Jesus loved us. Because that's what makes it distinctive. It's not that we're Awakening Church and we run this program and that program. It's not that we're Awakening Church and we do this and we do that and we try this. It's not that there's a parish profile being written at the moment which lists all the stuff we do as a church. And all that stuff is great and it's really important, but it's not what makes us who we are. We are who we are because we love each other like Jesus loves us. And so we're going to have time to worship in a moment. Do we have prayer ministry this morning? Right, we'll have people, if you want to come and get prayer in a moment, you can come and get prayer, there'll be people up here who can pray with you. We're going to go into worship, but before we do that, I want us to take a time of silence and reflection. I want to invite you guys to take that image of Jesus in that room, kneeling before his disciples, washing their feet. I want you to think of that image, and I want you to to take that image and see it and hold it really close to your heart. And then I want you to ask Jesus where you are in relation to that. Because I know when I do that, I see Jesus over there and me way over here. And then I want to ask you, if you see that, and you see that gap, and you see that space between where you are and where you need to be, that space between where we are as a community and where we need to be, I want you to ask Jesus to take you there. Invite Jesus in to come and take you from where you are just now to where you need to be. So we'll take a moment to do that. I'll close us in prayer, and then we'll move into we'll move into worship. I'll have a couple of things to do. Let's take a moment. Yeah, Jesus, thank you that you draw near to us despite all that you are, despite the fact that you are God Almighty in the highest place. You have drawn near to us in love. Jesus, teach us how to love each other the way you want us to. Would you make this community, would you make this church, a church which is marked by your love? We invite you in to take your place.